Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
That's his game. They don't get back. They would look. Now look at this steal. Here's the steal. 3-on-1. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness. Marcus Mizzen.
And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Mapin. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Mapin. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Mapin. So sit back and relax and watch Mapin.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Mapin on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Mapin and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Mapin here on 93.9 The Ville. Steve Rummage, Nick Valvano, in with us. Nick, it's good to see you today, man. I'm glad you're here with us.
Likewise, my friend. Pretty solid performance by you on trivia over on Diener Show.
Well, I was working with no headphones, so I was kind of listening to the question through the window a little bit, so I might miss some of the quick answers.
Blind. I thought you did, yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, some of the quick answers I couldn't just pop them back, like, oh, got you, you know, or whatever. Right. So,
my Blaine Gabbert guess wasn't terrible.
It was not good, but it wasn't terrible.
Based on what I thought the question was. So I didn't know it was.
I mean, like, playing. I don't know.
I thought it was just like roster.
Your Oklahoma State one was horrifically bad.
That was bad. That was
bad. I mean, that like, was bad. There was clearly Oklahoma
but
State.
But I had Nebraska and Northwestern right off the jump. Like, I had those two. But, okay. And I knew Angel. Like, I knew
yeah,
that well, one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
that one, the only one confused me with that one was I was like, did her first year, was she in CUSA?
That was a good, that was.
Yeah, I was like, because if so, 3 years, it might be somebody like Shoney, or, you know, where we're like, oh, it's, right. Feel like it's so easy that it's Angel. And it's like, well, it might not be because there might be a little loophole there. But,
right.
But regardless, the Chuck Taylor one kind of hurt me. I was like, ah, for.
Which one was that one?
It was who had the first shoe named after him.
Oh.
And so we were like, it can't be Jordan, right? But we're like, I don't know, though. It might be. And it was Chuck Taylor. Oh, yeah.
That's a slapper, forehead slapper.
It's happening.
And?
It's happening.
Okay.
I'm starting to get, my heart's getting invested.
Uh-oh.
I don't like it.
Uh-oh.
Now, again, I'm still, when I say this,
you're letting feelings get involved.
I'm still good with many, many options. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they're all the options I named yesterday in my quote unquote hot board,
right?
You know, of top three and one, I'd be happy with. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm starting to get feelings for Scott Drew.
Uh-oh.
I know. Like, I can feel myself getting emotionally attached. Like, and I blame Eric Crawford. Between the Eric Crawford tweet, then he has the win on Saturday, and last night.
It's looking pretty good.
He's had his hair, the way his hair just waves over on the side.
Nice little quaff.
His little quaff there. He had his quarter zip on last night, and
does rock a quarter set.
The way he was stalking that sideline last night, Texas come in and Texas thought they were going to win, right? And then just you watch that team just fight back. And you watch him just, the way he gets aggressive over there on the sideline. He was like, yeah, you know.
I thought he had such a calm demeanor.
I know, I did too. And I was like, eh, Scott.
All it takes is an 8-point halftime deficit.
I was like, you're looking pretty good over there. It's like, that's stupid. I'm stupid. It's not really. This would never work between us, would it? And then I was like, no. I don't know. Might work. You are 600 miles west of Tuscaloosa.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. I was like, well, the Baylor boards are feeling like, their Baylor insiders are feeling like that they have to respond now.
They're threatened.
They're threatened. Maybe we could work.
Are we the guy that they say not to worry about?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we're the guy. It's like, maybe I'm better than I thought. I could watch you at press conferences from afar on the screen. See over there, Scott, doing that press conference. You know what I'm saying? I could go to practice and watch you practice. And then it happened. I think I love you.
Well, as a coach, you're always worried about senior night because you always want to send senior night.
Smooth sounds. Listen to that.
I know, really credit to Texas for starting out.
Serenading voice, man.
I thought our guys did a great job fighting back. The crowd was awesome. Didn't let us get down. John had the Jonathan Chamachacha had the magic words that got us going second half. And as I told the seniors afterwards and the team, proud of their effort and their play, but more proud of the men they are. I mean, culture, joy, they embrace it. Jesus, others, yourself, they live it. They want to grow. We can prepare champions for life at Baylor. And they're all in with the academics, the spiritual, the character formation, and obviously they want to be
man of faith too.
Yeah, I think I'm in love,
questions,
man.
Questions, because you just gave me a question there. What were John's magic words?
I'd rather him tell you.
Stop it, Scott. You stop.
And he's humble.
You stop teasing us like that, Scott. Listen to him. Yeah, Nick, I don't know, man. Listen, I'll just be honest with you. I think I'm in love. So, I didn't want it to be this way. I didn't want it to be this way. I was very happy with an open heart.
Right.
I was very happy looking at the field. And again, not saying I can't. I'm not a believer in there's only one person out there made for you.
Right.
But, you know, I'm really not.
I mean, there's still Nate Oates.
And I love Nate Oates. I like Nate Oates.
There's still a lot of how you doing out there.
I could fall in love with Nate Oates. I could fall in love with Mick Cronin. I could fall in love with Chris Beard. I could fall in love with other guys, right?
Man, I had to.
But right now, at this very moment, there's only one man for me, and his name's Scott Drew. So you keep doing what you're doing over there, Scott. Maybe we'll see you soon. I don't know. But it's definitely a thought process. And, man, he is killing it, though, is he not? I mean, that game, watching them last night and watching a team
battle back
with two first-round picks, two lottery picks, and Walter and the Yves kid, which is a freak of nature. The big man they got is insane. I'd never heard about him in my life. The freshman, 7-foot freshman. Kid's going to go lottery. He's ridiculous. I have not told my wife about this yet. Just kind of keeping this between me and the listeners right now. So,
let's keep this on the DL.
Yeah. Keep us on the DL. Now I move on fast. Okay.
Listen. Sure. You can't be
like
locked
I said.
Down.
Hey, if Josh likes Nate Oates, if Josh likes Mick, if Josh likes Beard, like hey, I can move on. You know what I'm saying? Like I can forget about you quick. But right now on March 5th, man, you watch that game and like I said, man, you just watch I mean, you watch how, like, man, they're down 8. You know what I'm saying? They're down 8-10. And it's like, okay, Texas just got them. And to see a team, like, you want to talk about fight and resolve? You watch a team that just fights back. And they keep hanging around. And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, you know, you hit a 3 and it's like, yeah, but it's still a 10-point game. And then there was a point where Texas gets a big bucket, puts it up like 11. Then immediately Tyrese Hunter gets a steal and puts it right back up. And it's like, okay, this is starting to get out of control. Baylor calmly comes down. Kid, I can't remember the kid's name, man. He takes it baseline, punches one, and it's like, okay. Back to 11. Calm down. But then they did say something. They were like, man, they've got this brand new arena here, holds 8,000 people. And I was like,
oh.
8,000?
They've got toys too, but ours are shinier.
Yeah, I was like, 8,000?
Ours is bigger, Scott.
It's like, we got half of that, and we don't even have a pulse. We've got games we're bringing in 6,000 and 7,000.
We stumble into 8,000.
Like, we're literally like living with no function. Are you kidding me? Russ Smith. Did you see Russ Smith yesterday talk about he would like Scott Drew?
Oh wow!
Yeah,
he said
because he was basically, he likes Scott Drew. He said he would have went to Baylor had he not chose Louisville.
So, wow.
Yeah. Just don't play the field too long. The right one might pass you by. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. After the Baylor game, I instantly went to Scott Drew's Wikipedia to see what his record was each year at Baylor in tournament success. Right, I agree. I mean, like, and I mean, that's a guy where you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, he's done the usual. I mean, look, he's made Elite Eights. He's made Final Fours. Well, Final Four. I don't think he's made more than one, but he won the national title the year. I mean, you know, I mean, he's been in the second weekend, and he's had some first round losses. He's had some second round losses. So, I mean, you know, there's some of that in there. But
the infamous, they got more rebounds than us.
Yeah, they got more of those than we did. I mean, and the one year, sometimes the tournament is just the luck of the draw. That year where he was a 2 seed with Quincy Miller and Isaiah Austin and all those guys, they ran into Kentucky in the Elite Eight with Anthony Davis. They're in any other bracket, they're probably a Final Four team.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, even Louisville's bracket that year. Like, if they're in any other, I mean, like, being Baylor, like, Baylor probably would have got Louisville that year. Like, if they had been in that bracket.
An all-time UK.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so sometimes the tournament is just, that's why when you get into second weekends and Elite Eights and stuff like that, I'm like, sometimes that's the luck of the draw. Like, it does matter. Don't get me wrong. If you got Final Fours, national championship, that matters.
Right.
But if you're a guy that's a coach that's a staple in the second weekend, like I can mess with you because the tournament is just the luck of the draw. I mean, who has the most championships active?
Well, that's Bill a good Self? Question. Yeah, that's what I would guess.
Two. They got two national championships.
Yeah, I think. Right. Yeah.
Think so.
Izzo's got. Two or one?
Izzo's only got one, right?
Yeah, I think he's only got one.
And we regard him as like one of the best March coaches of all time.
Right.
Like, so it's tough. My whole point in saying that is it's not like there's too many out there that just, I mean, what did Coach K have? 5?
Something like that.
Which is crazy.
No, well, we're being kind of stupid. Rick's got 2.
Oh, yeah.
That was dumb. Yeah, that was dumb. Yeah.
Welcome. But even that, Coach Patino is one of the best coaches ever. He's got 2 championships. So, like, championships are hard to get. It's like a Heisman Trophy. Louisville has 1 Heisman Trophy. That puts them in elite categories.
Right.
You know, when you win 1 national championship, that puts you in an elite category. But it's also why, hey, somebody like Chris Beard, who's been there, I'm like, okay, I can work with that. You know what I'm saying? Nate Oates has made the second weekend a couple times. Like, I'm like, okay, I can work with that. Guys that, you know, I mean, even as much as I've talked about like a guy like Will Wade, like it's not really my cup of tea. I don't really think he's worth the juice is worth the squeeze with the show calls. But it's like, okay, I mean, you know, he has made one second weekend, like, you know, and maybe you could do so. So, I mean, as long as you have had that success where you've got at least into the second weekend, to me, that's a big deal, you know.
Shall I read Scott Drew's postseason?
Yeah, go ahead.
Accolades. All right, so they didn't make it from 03 to 07, but
we know what was going on then. Yeah, they were under sanctions.
Yeah, they had a little thing called a murder. Yeah. So, all right. So in 07,
there's a murder in Savannah.
07.
It's not funny. It's the office.
Round of 64. Then an NIT runner up. NCAA Division Elite Eight. Sorry, I was reading that weird. Elite Eight. Nothing. They had a bad year in 2010. Elite Eight, NIT champion, Sweet 16, round of 64, round of 64, Sweet 16, NIT second round, round of 32. Then COVID happened. Then they won the championship.
They were going to be like, wasn't they going to be like a one or a two seed though?
Yeah,
in the COVID year.
I was going to say, I thought they had a pretty high seed. Then they were round of 32, and then they were round of 32. So
yeah,
not bad.
No, I mean it sounds about right.
I want to compare that to give me a Hall of Fame coach. Oh, I got Izzo up.
There you go.
All right, let's see what Izzo's postseason accolades were. Head coaching record.
Okay.
All right, we'll start in 96. NIT second round, then a Sweet 16, then a Final Four, then a championship, then a Final Four, then a round of 64, then an Elite Eight, round of 64, Final Four, round of 64, round of 32, Sweet 16, runner-up, Final Four, round of 64, Sweet 16, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, round of 64, round of 32, round of 32, Final Four, 2020, no tournament, first four, round of 32, Sweet 16.
He really is the best March coach.
I was like, that's insane.
That's pretty incredible. I mean, you're almost. I mean, what is that? I'm terrible at math, but there's no way that's 80%. You're in the second weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, you're pretty much guaranteed to be in the second weekend. I mean, well, there for a while, the stat was like a coach. There hadn't been player. It was up until just like a couple years ago where it was like there hadn't been a player play for Izzo for 4 years and not make a Final Four.
That's wild.
Yeah. I think it broke a couple years ago.
All right, here we go. I'm going to go through real fast, and we'll do what his percentage is in the second weekend. All right. I'm going working backwards from 2022, 2023. All right, ready. Let's see here. Sweet 16, so he's 1-for-1. 1-for-2, 2-for-3, 3-for-4, 3-for-5, 3-for-6. 3-for-7, 4-for-7, 5-for-7, 6-for-7, 7-and-7, 7-and-8, 8-and-8, 9-and-8, 10-and-8, 10-and-9, 10-and-10, 11-and-10, 11-and-11, 12-and-11. 12 and 12. This is unbelievable. He's batting 500 right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much even money to make the second weekend.
13 and 12, 14 and 12, 15 and 12, 16 and 12. Wow.
It's plus money.
Plus money. 16 Golly, and 12 dude. Making the, when he's in the tournament, making
and
the,
a lot of that NCAA is
second weekend.
And a lot of that when you add on this too, a lot of that is having high seeds. And you basically just got to win a game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, which is also to your credit. That means
that's on a regular season.
Yeah. Like, well, so you're doing that, but then some years you lose to Middle Tennessee,
right?
In the first round,
as
you know.
Good as that is, and that is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
One championship.
Yeah, one title. Yeah, that's what I say. It's hard to win championships. So if you're a guy who has a national title, I mean that's next level stuff, you know. One of Izzo's Final Four should have been ours. Just make a free throw, man. Go, yeah, I feel you, dude.
That's fair. That's fair.
Hear me out. Hire Izzo. Yeah, good point. Somebody said that's not how you count percentage, Nikki. That is fair, but
what do you mean?
Well,
you do the total, percentage, right? Yeah. So he's six. I was doing his record. He's 16-12.
I know.
So right. So he's 16-28. Thank you, jackass. I know how percentages work. Regardless, he's got more. He's batting more than 500.
Oh God. Yeah, let's just all say it was good.
16. All right, look. This is
okay. 57%. Okay, why are we talking about Izzo? All right, enough with the Izzo. I'm sick of Izzo already. He's about to retire.
He's batting 57%.
Yeah, Izzo's going to be out of college basketball soon. I've did 25 minutes on him. Postseason record.
You know how old he is? 69. Nice.
Hey. Hire him right now. He's in his perfect year.
He's in his prime.
That's it. That's the year it all comes together. Yeah, from 72 to 90, Denny Crum was the same. Every four-year player he coached had been in the Final Four. And Denny, I mean, Coach Crum is, I mean, that's why he's an all-time legend, you know? Nick, you messed it up, and it's so much higher than 500.
I just did it. It's 570. He's batting 570. Hey, it's higher than 500.
Stop getting on me.
I'm sorry.
You're looking at me like I did it.
I did the math.
I'm just reading the text line.
He's 16-28.
I
making the second weekend.
Here's my thing. Okay, and let's have this conversation really quick too. Because at the end of the day, we've talked about it. Josh Hurd's got to make this higher. Okay? Because Josh Hurd is, this one is without a doubt on him. Okay? They're not going to be upset at the next coach. They're going to be upset at Josh Hurd if it doesn't work, right? Vice versa, if the next coach does work, Josh Hurd is going to get all the credit for it, as he should. As he should. And not only will he get credit for the next basketball coach, he'll start to get more credit for Brom, because I feel like he don't get very much of that right now, but he will with that. Okay, put it this way. At the end of the day, I'm gonna be behind whoever Josh picks, because look, this is your choice, and I trust you as my athletic director. I will say this, though. I do still think he needs to get somewhat of a name. I think it is way too risky. Way too risky to just go, I mean, my God, you better be right. Like, say he wants Indiana State's guy. He's like, no, that's the guy. Man, you better be right. I just feel like this hire... And why, okay, hear me out, though. Why I think we have to have a name. Okay, Nick, I want to take you back. And it's apples to oranges, okay, as far as the situations. So I'm not comparing the situations, because okay, it really is total apples to oranges. I feel like Josh Hurd's under more pressure with this hire than Tom Jurich was in the transfer over from Denny Crum to Rick Pitino. Like, now again,
really,
the situations
are totally
different. So please don't hear that and think I'm comparing the two situations, because they're not the same at all. But even if Tom missed on that hire, Louisville was coming off of Denny Crum.
Right.
An all-time legend. You could have made your way back on that. This is one where, to me, the reason why a name is also important is because it's not just about getting the team good again. This is also about brand supremacy to me. This is also about brand equity, where it's like, we need to know Louisville's still a big dog.
No,
and you need to announce to the world Louisville's still a big dog.
We're in Miami football territory.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need to to me, why name? Because people would say, well, at the end of the day, the name don't matter. And I do agree. Hey, if he goes and hires Indiana State's coach, and Indiana State's coach comes here and he's killing it, I'm not saying that that doesn't be like, well, yeah, the brand can still succeed off that, because you can be like, yeah, you give somebody this brand, look what it does to them. And now they're, so I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, you go get a Scott Drew, you go get a Nate Oates, you go get somebody like that, a Chris Beard guy, Mick Cronin from UCLA even. That does kind of, Louisville just went and got who they wanted, a head coach. You know, like a Power Five head coach that was, has done a lot of good things, you know, and even a guy like Mick Cronin, you may not like him, but I mean, that's still UCLA. That's UCLA. If Louisville went out there and said, boom, give me that guy. But that's why, so when people ask, when they're like, well, Steve, it don't have to be a big name as long as it's the right coach. Well, to an extent, I agree. But I also think that there is a, Louisville being a top six all-time program, I do think there's a little pressure on Josh this go-around to go get a big name.
Oh, I totally agree.
For that reason. Because, and that's why I say, the two situations I don't compare, but I don't even know that Tom was under that level of pressure the way Josh is to make this one right.
I agree with everything you're saying.
And the optics, it's even more so than just getting the right coach. It's the optics of it, too.
Well, we even talked about it. Like, this is also, I feel like, a real test of skill, but
yeah,
in terms of hiring, because you're coming off of, as we anointed him, the heir apparent in Chris Mack.
Yeah.
And then the prodigal son, Kenny Payne.
Yeah.
And neither one of them worked out for the long term.
But I still think Chris Mack was the right hire.
No, I agree with that. I agree.
I think Chris Mack would have worked. But again, I'm in that boat. I'm not getting off on that. I do think Chris Mack would have worked. I think there was just a lot of between. I think he panicked and got rid of Dino and panicked and got rid of Murray.
Yeah, and they were battling with a COVID and everything like that.
Yes, and then
and I know that, everybody loves to swoop in. Like, everyone was affected by COVID. Yeah, but it hit certain programs harder.
It did.
And because not every program was coming off scandal. And you know what helps heal scandal in the national picture? A deep postseason run. And when you had a team that was a prime for a deep postseason run, I'm sorry. Yes, pandemic affected everybody, but it affected them a lot more than a 14 seed that
and
was coming into the.
He was somewhat Steve Rummage-ish. He was somewhat defiant.
A little bit.
In the eye of COVID, which I will say, I can do that. You can't.
Right.
That coach. So, like, when it goes bad and you do that, then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Even Steve Rummage is like, well, why are my players, why do I keep getting caught so many games? You know,
right.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Steve can get on here and make fun of Nick and say, well, I don't do this and I'm not this and I'm not getting this and whatever.
Right. But that's not keeping us out of games.
But it don't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be Steve Rummage's wife. And guess what? You want to be a nurse? Well, you had to do what Steve Rummage may not do. I can be defiant, but you can't.
Yeah, so, you're
that
right.
Makes sense. Like,
yeah.
So sometimes there was just a lot that went on during that tenure. I do think he was the right hire, and I think that was a good hire.
I agree.
He was the number one seed.
Right.
You went and took him. I just think the optics of if Louisville goes and hires. I keep using Indiana State's guy. I mean, bless his heart. He's probably a great coach.
Shirts.
Yeah.
I had to look it up.
I do not mean anything.
But that right
them.
There is, you're making your point.
Yeah.
You're saying the program that people know of. But if you said Josh Shirts to Joe Everyman.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you and I had to look him up.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I think he's a good coach. I mean.
Four-time national coach of the year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's got some accolades.
He's doing his thing. So I just don't mean that to be that way. But I just think the opposite. For Louisville basketball really need to be a this does kind of need to be a power move. Now, would Scott Drew be the ultimate power move? Probably. I think so. Take him out of Baylor, where he's the king of Baylor. And I'm not so sure Louisville's going to be able to do it. I mean, in order
2 years off a championship.
Yeah, in order to do it, I mean, you're going to have to make him a top I mean, he's going to have to be.
That's what I want.
Well, plus of seven, right? I mean, it's going to have to be seven plus.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that panic mode or anything like that, but we saw the list. You saw the list. Remember the infamous Kenny Payne, Greg Gard, bunch of dudes. Are we, I mean, all these names that keep getting thrown around, are we positive that Louisville has the means to be able to get the Nate Oates? And I mean, like, I mean, that's a $10 million buyout, but Scott Drew ain't going to be much cheaper. Like, you're looking at seven or eight for that, right? I mean, I don't know exactly what his buyout is, but are we sure that Louisville's in these waters? Like, are we positive?
Money-wise?
Money-wise. Like, I mean, you're coming off.
It depends who you talk to. Me and Chase were having this conversation earlier, and Chase is like, it'll drive you crazy. And I agree with him. You talk to some people, and they're like, well, I don't know if Louisville has the money. And then you talk to other people that are pretty well in the know, and they're like,
Louisville got the money. Yeah.
Trust me, they're fine.
If they were so fine, how come it was Kenny Payne, Greg Gard, and a bunch of dudes last go around?
But, I mean,
I'm not saying that they're not, but...
Yeah,
and I think that that's one of the reasons Kenny's gotten so much time, because like you know we talked about
it's 2 years. I mean,
but I'm saying like why they're letting him finish the year because of some financial reasons.
You can save $8 million if somebody's going to pay a buyout. I mean, that would be crazy. I mean, I think even the biggest Kenny Payne. I think if you hated Kenny Payne, the human being, you would call in and say, "Well, yeah, if you can save $8 million,
right? Exactly,
save $8 million." I mean, $8 million is a lot of money, Nick. Like, that's a lot of money.
I agree.
And if that's going to be covered, you letting finish, that's a no-brainer.
Right, like, even with that said, is Louisville still, do they still have the means to swim in those waters? Like,
well, that's what we're going to learn.
Yeah.
We're going to learn. I mean, because, like I said, you talk to a lot of people, and you hear some that are like, well, I don't think they got the money. And then you hear some that are pretty wealthy and that give a lot, and they're like, "Nah, yeah, the money's there."
Well, I hope so, because I love having these conversations.
Now, the money will have to be there. That's funny, Texter. Says Roach to support his wife's requirements 100% by doing them as well. but I mean, we'll find out. We'll find out, because to hire some of the names we've talked about,
it's going to take a premium price tag.
It's going to take money. I mean, Nate Oates has a $10 million buyout. Like, it's going to take money to get him, you know?
I feel like hiring one of these people in of itself is a flex, because you're coming off of scandal, coming off the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you're coming off of 2 years of horrible attendance.
Yeah.
That we've seen all the stories, you know, with Troll Pub and everything like that, of the financial impact that is having. To be able to then pluck a coach from a major program.
There was a text saying it would save $2 million. No, I'm saying you only save $2 million if you wait till April 1st.
Right.
The common story has been, if Kenny Payne finishes the year, there is someone out there, people tend to think they know who it is, that would take the buyout.
Right.
Take the care of the buyout. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean by that.
You go from 2 million to 8 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean by that. Yeah. Let me get some of these.
38-31-93-9 text line if you want to be part of the show.
Yeah, okay. Let me get to something. Tom said it with his chest. The UofL is going after Rick first. Hurd is hiding in the shadows. We'll see if his secret agent tactics work. Well, it's too...
Again, like you said, apples and oranges. Apples,
and Tom is my guy. Love Tom. Anytime we're in that area, we my guy up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my guy, man. I love him. But it's two different situations here. I mean, I will say, no Mick Cronin, he's boring. I don't know if he's boring. He's boring. Might be agitating, but I don't know if he's boring. Josh was bullied into KP. Now he's being bullied into hiring a name. I don't think that's the case at all. I don't. Maybe it's unfair, but if wealthy alums have their hands on the steering wheel, their wallets need to be available. Yeah, I agree with that.
100%.
Boosters will take care of it. That's what big programs do. That's the hope. I mean, that's what we want. Let's see. You guys aren't supporting the team financially, so why would the money be there?
I mean, that's...
I'm not sure that even makes sense.
No, I think what they're saying is, I mean, that people aren't going to the games. That kind of goes to my point of how full are the coffers if the attendance is only 4,000?
Well, the tickets are sold.
So, point.
Yeah, a lot of those suites and stuff, it's people aren't going. That's the problem. People have paid for these tickets and still aren't going.
Right.
That's more of the issue. So, yeah, they are being supported. Would Scott Drew's contract alone surpass Jeff Brohm's $5 million a year if he came to Louisville? Yeah, yeah, it would. Yeah. I think it would. I think direct salary, he would get a higher salary right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
What's going on? I'm agreeing with you a lot today.
I know, yeah, yeah.
You're making good points.
Junior Bridgman's still a top 10 richest athlete in the world. Made over $200 million last year. Can he not help? I think he is helping. Junior's not where I would point my vitriol, okay?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that is like, not.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's not where I would do that. Somebody says Cronin has made back-to-back Sweet 16s and a Final Four. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I say. I mean, I have Cronin on my 3-1. Like, I don't think Cronin's a bad hire if that's the direction we go. Anyways.
Something I want to ask you about Cronin on the other side.
Okay, maybe. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
Facebook's down, evidently. So calm
down.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, I was like, what? Is my Facebook? No, we're good, though. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's take a quick break. Steve Romage, Nick Valvano, Middays, Marks Maven, 93.9 Deville.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Hey guys, with conference championships around the corner, now's the time to register for the Dose Million Bracket Challenge. Sign up now at TwinPeaksBracketChallenge.com, then fill out your bracket before the tournament tips off on March 21st. Enter for a chance to win $2 million and more epic prizes, including a $50 gift card to the top bracket from every lodge. Twin Peaks, each drink, scenic views.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Mark Smaven here on 93.9 The Ville. Steve Rummage, Nick Valvano. We're going to do an extended segment. We're going to go over the hour here. I'm going to get Nick in trouble because I'm not the one that's got to deal with it. He does. Because Coach Lieberman's in here with me. So I'll call you Coach Lieberman still. I like that. I'm not going to call you Mark. Hey, Mark.
I like it.
It's weird.
Good ring to it.
I know, yeah. But Coach is in here with me, so we're going to thank you for that, Nick. Also, somebody asked if we're taking calls. Have you been ignoring the phones?
No. Like, the phones are open. So.
Okay.
So, lick the Cheeto dust off your fingers and call in then.
Okay. Well, that wasn't very nice at all.
Coming at me with that energy.
We were talking in the first half there. And again, we'll get to everything. Kind of talking about coaches and what could be coming, what looks inevitable. Don't know. Again, I'm just not the type that's... It's tough until it's actually here to, like, go all in, you know, just out of the respect of the job, I guess.
Exactly.
That it's kind of like, I can't just, you know, well, you're done. You know, kind of move on. But I was talking in the first hour or the first segment there about how I do feel like while it don't have to be a name, I think it does to an extent just for the brand. just for the brand. And the coaches I've named, I don't know if you heard my hot board yesterday. I've got Drew.
I follow everything
okay.
you do.
Okay. I figured.
Big fan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was wondering who was outside my window last night. I got Drew. I got Oates. I got Beard. I got Cronin. Kind of is my 3-and-1. Everybody knows my love for Little Rick, mm-hmm. Richard Pitino. I think he would do a fantastic job here. But I think any of those names would feel big. And I think for the brand that is Louisville, that's kind of what's needed. Now, you look at it a little more objectively than me, I guess. But I look at it a little more as like, how does it help Louisville at the end of the day? You know, and I know you love Louisville. I mean, and love the team and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
no, you're spot on. And the fact that you have respect for, you know, for me, it's a fraternity in coaching.
Sure.
And I've talked about it. You know, it's all speculation and some of the candidates. But yeah, it's all those names. If a change is made, then yes, I think that's because look, Josh Schertz. Mm-hmm. I mean, his name now is picking up a lot of steam and those type of things. But I think you're spot on with the fact that if Josh Hurd makes that call, then you've got to go with something that's established.
Yeah.
And obviously all those names are floating around every show. Everybody's talking about it's all over town. But I do think that's the route that you know, Josh is going to look
at. Yeah, because, I mean, like, Schertz is one that Nick and I kept bringing up today. It's kind of like, I think he's a really good coach. Mm-hmm. And I think he could do really good.
His style of play is a lot of fun. Look what he's done. I've actually known him a long time. He was an assistant coach at Lynn University in Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. And I've known him, and he went to Division II, and now his brand is a lot of fun. But, you know, is that going to make everybody's toes tingle in town? You know,
it's a little bit of a risk. And here's what I was saying, and I'll see if you agree with this. Like, even if you hired a guy, I don't want to sound demeaning. That's what I said again in the first. I keep feeling like when I'm like a guy like that, like he's a inferior coach or something. I don't mean it that way, but just not a brand name. Mm-hmm. I still think, I mean, if you brought him in and he won here at a high level, look, fans would love him. And I still think there would be a good thing for the brand there where you could say, hey, yeah, you put a guy like that with this brand, that's what happens. But there's just something about this hire that almost feels like it needs to be a national, you know, like, Louisville, man, Louisville did what they did. You know, like Louisville went out and kind of cherry picked, and you go get somebody from UCLA, Alabama, Baylor, who is mm-hmm. a national champion. You know, that's a pretty big splash, man.
Coaching the Final Four, all those things. Because of the struggles of the last 2 years are so profound.
Yeah,
that's exactly why that if that position is changed, it's got to be one of those. And even if it's not the ones that everybody's talking about, and there's somebody else that's a big name, mm-hmm. you know, you just I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Somebody asked a question on here. I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you this, and you're my friend, so it's a little different because we do radio together, but we're more friends than we are radio. We're our coworkers. So, like, I try to watch.
Best friends.
We're really close. And when we go on a Disney trip together, that's going to kind of consummate it.
Which is what we were just talking about. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen because we both have that same love for Disney, for Star Wars, and for things like that. So, I'm not saying there'll be consummation happening on the trip, but there will be. The trip itself will be the coming together as one. Two people become one. Yeah, and that's what that will be. We'll hammer out that later. We'll hammer out the details of how that's going to happen later.
I'm invited, right?
I mean, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not involved in the consummation. Two's a crowd.
Someone's got to hold the video camera.
Or three's a crowd. Yeah. We're like, so somebody, I will ask you this question, and you answer it the way you feel because I don't want to put you on the spot. Somebody said, why do they think there's a disconnect between teaching and execution is occurring, particularly on the defensive side? Because I think you agree with me. I do think there's talent on this team. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty good players. Better than what the record has shown.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's a... okay, here's the way I put it. I feel like it's almost like we have a blanket thing, and it's like... that's what we do for every game. But that's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Like, you can have a blanket scheme, but each game's so different. And I just don't know that that part is happening.
Right. And if you can get that, like, game to game, you can change things under Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
We would do our scouts and how we would defend would change. It maybe would deny sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe we're chasing off a pin down instead of going up and through the ball side.
But even though you still have one big scheme.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So those things were foundations. And, you know, I truly believe this game is, and it's not just here, it's what's happening to the game. It's overcoached and undertaught. So you have a lot of guys that come in and maybe don't understand what the expectations are. At the same time, that's the job, and getting guys to play hard. And
Nick,
defend.
Will somebody let this intern in? He's been out here for 10 minutes, dude. I'm so sorry, dude. Like, I feel terrible. He's just standing there. Dude, he's been here for 8 minutes behind. It's terrible. I can't keep looking at him, dude. Like, he keeps looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, dude, somebody let him in. Anyways, do what you do.
Let's go back to, Nick, fantastic job, Nick.
Well done. Yeah, well
Thank
done.
You guys. Thank you.
Getting guys to defend, when you come to the college level, it's the first thing. Guys are skilled, and no matter what, you're going to get guys that can score and do all those type of things. I was told a long time ago, recruit the best offensive basketball players and then coach the blank out of them.
Sure.
Teach the blank out of them to understand what schematically you're doing.
Absolutely.
Because one guy might know what he's doing, Steve, but the other four don't. And if you take that play that everybody's talking about at the end of the half.
End of the half, yeah. Defensive play in Louisville history. That's what I said.
So if you're going to, again, it's all tied together. So they have a guy in the ball, and there's no ball pressure.
Yeah.
You're fronting the guards, and then you allow a pressure release flash up.
Yeah.
So it should be, you know, everybody's heard ball, you man. If that guy's coming, you're kind of like bumping that cutter and staying in front. So that guy can't catch it and throw over the top.
Right.
But those are all things that, you know, that, yeah, that's the basis. No matter what, coming out of a huddle, the guys on the floor understand that, and they've gone over it at nauseam and so on. So those are the disconnects that you constantly see. You know, are they denying? Sometimes you don't know if guys are playing gaps or denying how they're playing the post. I've talked about that incessantly. So, I don't think systematically that, you know, this team you can count on to get stops, and we've seen it.
I know. And that's what makes it tough, because it just feels like, again, this is my opinion. It just feels like that there is one or two little something from coach to player that, because I have no doubt, like, Kenny coaches these guys. I've watched practice. You've watched practice. Mm-hmm. Like, they get coached. It's not like they're in there just like, oh, let's see what happens. But there is that, I think you said it, man, the emphasis on, not that you said it about that, but just in general, that it's like, hey, man, the what do we emphasize?
It's the whys also.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
This is why we're playing
that
way.
That's
what we're taking away and so on. And
kind of like you forgot to do in the TBT and cost us a Final Four.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody asked, why were you running the TBT this summer? And I was like, well, because over my dead body.
You're funny today.
After the way you took everything from me. That was all I had.
I broke your heart.
Yeah, that was all I had.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted. I've waited all these months to get you on air so I could be like, you, you bastard.
This is all your
You
skin.
Took everything from
had
me.
Had nothing to do with Disney. Had nothing to do with all our relationship. Just to get me
one,
in here.
I had one fun thing going for me, dude.
It was still fun.
You couldn't get a bucket?
It was still fun. No. that just shows you, that just proves how helpless coaches are. So people to understand how helpless you are as you're watching the game. And you're like, you just, this is what we've gone over. Just.
I was like, what's he teaching them?
Yeah.
What did he teach? Did y'all even practice? Like, dude, it was terrible, man.
We're helpless, man.
I know. No,
we are helpless, and you're watching it. And
there is some of that, though, man, that you do remember. You're like, when you watch,
let me tell you, you don't think I go over it over and over again, like a bunch of stuff in my head. Like, even at the end of the half, we gave up a basket, you know, and it's contested shot, but it's like, maybe we should have done something different on that. Even the TBT, I overthink, and I go over and replay them in my mind, like, that. Hey, maybe if I put this guy in or that. You know,
there's so many plays, isn't there, over the years that you just vividly remember where you're like, wow. Mm-hmm. I remember watching that play as it happened. It was like, are you kidding me?
Are there a couple of recurring ones that they're just like?
Well, Rakeem Buckles and I always talk about, because he had won back-to-back state championships, and then he was going for a third, and this is his senior year, and I had him inbound the basketball late in the game just because I'm trusting him to do that. And he wasn't the most comfortable as far as – and he turned the ball over, and we were up one, and it was a turnover. So even to this point, you know, I talk about that with him. And there's always that in coaching. There's always stuff. But for the most part, you enjoy – I look back on – and I'm not trying to get sentimental here, but, like, all those relationships and the time I spent with those guys from the TBT and then all the teams I've coached, from Pace to Louisville to FIU, Southeastern Louisiana, all those experiences and all the relationships, that's the most important part. Not to get all sentimental.
That was the most coach.
Nice to spin it that way.
Crap the Diener show. That was the most sentimental thing.
I'm going to pause for ideas.
Big man. Said just the just the look on the players' faces when they win a game, man. It's like it's all worth it. Yeah, thanks, coach. Listen, we know that. Yeah. No, but seriously, let me ask you this,
please.
Because thank you. Will, if okay, let's say Coach Lieberman is getting a job, and there's a roster in place. I'm kind of taking this from a text line question, but it's a great question. I don't want you to feel like I'm interviewing you either. Like, well, you know, I mean, if you got bounce back here, but it's just you're taking over a team with a roster. Do you prefer? Let's say new guy comes in here. You've got good players here and stuff. Do you prefer to clean out a little bit, or do you keep that roster? Or I mean, I know it can be situational too, but does the question make sense?
Yeah,
like
it does.
Or do I say,
style of play is huge.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you're, you know, for me, that's what, like even with Coach Pitino, when he came to my practice and so on, my teams would play fast, we'd press, all those type of things. And you'd watch film on the guys that are returning. And look, in this day and age of college basketball, everybody's going to hit the portal regardless.
Sure.
You've got to re-recruit them.
Absolutely.
And decide. But then you might say, look, hey, this is good luck to you. This is not a good fit. But I think.
And I ask you this because you're one of the best. All jokes aside, I'm not just pumping up my friend here. Like, you are one of the best individual instructors that are, are around. So it's like, that's why, I imagine your top level coaches got to be that. So that's why I'd like to pick your brain on that, because you look at it from what can I do with this and this and this, right?
That's when you come in that first year, it's tough. Look, when we got to FIU, we cleaned out. We got rid of almost like what St. John's did. We had a completely new roster.
Yep.
And we were just hitting JUCOs, hitting guys that were already transfers and so on. So that was, but that was a unique situation. That was also, we had guys that just, you know, academically, and there's a bunch of factors. But there's, let's just say the Louisville roster, for example.
Yeah, yeah,
there's talent here, but you got to get certain guys to buy what you're selling, and if not, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I think for being around some of these guys, even this summer, and they would join in some of the workouts we had last summer with the TBT, I think there's, for the most part, those guys want to be good, want to work, and all players want to get better. So if you can help them, and honestly, it's a two-way street. You want to win, you want to be successful, but the players, you know, everybody's has self-interest. We have to understand that. So for them, they want to get to a level where they can make money professionally and so on. So if they think that you can help them get there, then they're gonna jump on, and then those relationships get better and better and better. So it's not always, you just, it's a delicate thing. You bring in a good staff, you talk with the players, you get to know them better, and honestly, if it's not a good fit, they can hit the portal
especially when you're coming from a little more lateral. Like, okay, if one of these coaches come in, they're going to have a couple guys they're going to bring with them. Like, that's just how, I mean, either whether it be recruits, whether it be guys on the team, you know, or other guys that they've recruited. And nowadays, in the portal days, it might be guys I've recruited earlier that I already knew that I was going to bring to Baylor, mm-hmm. that now I'm just going to move over here. I mean, is that, I mean, as a coach, I mean, that's just business, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, do you, you feel like...
Yeah, sorry. I mean...
No, yeah.
Look at South Florida, right?
Yeah.
He brought four core guys from Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
Which made the NCAA tournament and had them... Like,
oh, so yeah.
He brought those guys with him, and now they're in first place in their conference.
Doing a great job.
Yeah. So, and he's up for a bunch of jobs.
And he's another name that, I mean, kind of would be one of those off the radar
right.
names.
And not he's a fantastic coach, yeah. but... He brought guys with him, mm-hmm. core guys who understood what he wanted.
Yeah.
He brought two recruits who had committed to Kennesaw State to South Florida as well. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about six guys right there who knew
half a
what
roster.
They were getting.
Yeah.
And then you add a couple other pieces. So, yeah, when coaches come to there's guys that want to follow. Mm-hmm. And then there's some guys who say, I've had enough of that
yeah.
type of coaching. And
so you're just ready for it. The awkwardness don't even have to be there. Mm-hmm. You just say, hey, I'm going in here and – You're out. You're
well,
out.
The portal's changed everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not like you have to recruit younger players or JUCOs like we've done in the past. Now you can just get
and
guys
I guess
you
can
know.
Let people feel like, well, you go get your opportunity. It's probably an easier way to break up with them now, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, go in there and look. So, yeah.
But I think almost every single player, when there's a coaching change,
yeah.
does that, and then they want to be re-recruited, and they want,
yeah.
whether it's NIL or what their role is going to be, they want those answers. But yeah, when you have players that you've recruited
at
other schools,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you get a big time job and you're like, those guys are in the portal and like,
yeah.
hey, this is a great fit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
there's a lot of moving parts now in college basketball.
That makes sense. All right, Nick, let's do it, man. Let's take a break. We already got you in enough trouble. Coach Lieberman, I appreciate it, man.
No, it was great.
I had fun chatting with you.
You same here.
We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's get something to eat soon, too. All right. Midday's Marcus Mabe with Steve Rummage, Nick Valvano, Coach Lieberman sitting in with us. Appreciate you, man. 93.9 DeVille.